Education Ministry is taking a critical step in initiative to reform the college entrance examination system, aiming to reverse exam-oriented education to cultivate better talent. According to the ministry, university entrance will no longer be solely determined by students' Gaokao score in the National College Entrance Exam. 现行高考的招生制度下，总成绩是对学生的唯一评价，这一现实即将被改写。Before we really dive into the details of what the Gaokao reform is about, why do you think there needs to be a change?
Well, I think it basically has to do the fact that over the past 30 years or so, the Gaokao has been the only way for most of the Chinese students to enter higher education institutions. And complaints have long been heard about it ignoring students' overall personality development and deciding their academic fates with only one chance.
Yeah, I think there's a lot wrong with the Gaokao. I think that's one of the things we have to admit first is, and a lot of it has to do, I think, with this idea that number one, someone's worth or value as a student can be summarized by one score or the combination of three different subjects and their cumulative score. Also, the idea that someone's near future, at the very least, is going to be determined by one single test on one single day. And also the problem here that we're looking at is not just the Gaokao itself, but the amazing formative pressure it has put on the education system here in China. At this point, I mean, the most important thing in any student's life before they go to university is going to be the Gaokao. And that system of education, that system of preparation for the test itself, filters down through every aspect of the grades of the students' lives, even before that exam, even before the final year when they're actually going to take it. I mean, you know, the examination system is such a huge part of Chinese education, and a lot of that pressure and a lot of that score-based evaluation, numerical, quantitative-based evaluation, is in part to do with the Gaokao. And so if we change the Gaokao, if we change the qualifications, if we change what is measured, then that is going to have significant impact on the overall education system in China.
Yeah, I think it's basically considered as an unfair and overly simplistic way to evaluate a student. And also, talking about this rigid format, I think at one point, I think maybe 10 years ago, probably at that time, students who take part in the Gaokao have to actually take the tests on almost every discipline that they learned in high school. And in recent years, we have seen several reforms measures to be taken out, such as setting the format to be 3+X, which means the three compulsory courses, including Chinese, mathematics, and English. And plus XX means you could choose either liberal arts, which includes politics, history, and stuff, and or you could choose science, which includes physics and biology and that and something like that. So I guess the recent reforms, previous reforms, offers a certain amount of freedom in terms of the choices that they offer to the students, but they just didn't go far enough.
Mm-hmm. I think these are some very good points. And also, we've been talking about change for so long. And now, finally, we see some concrete plans of what's going to happen from this year onwards. So what do you think are these major changes that sort of caught your eye?
Well, I think it's the ability, number one, to be a bit more flexible. And so you can actually take, rather than choosing, you know, the 3+X and saying that this is going to be, you know, my best subject, rather, you can actually take exams from all of these X's, if you will, and then choose the best scores, the three best scores from that pool. So biology, chemistry, geography, history, physics, and politics. And so you don't have to worry so much about choosing between a liberal arts concentration versus a science concentration, which I think is really good, because what I found, at least, is that there are people out there who are very good at both and should not and, and because of that should not necessarily have to choose between one track or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I think a blurred division between liberal arts and science is really good, because sometimes when a person, he could be good at, say, biology, but he could also be good at history. Mm-hmm. And then if he's forced to choose between liberal arts and science, mm-hmm. that is not really fair for him.
Yeah, and I suppose with this kind of arrangement, it probably encourages people to really pursue like different types of subjects instead of being confined to sort of one stream.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I mean, just, you know, if you are only going to be tested on humanities and liberal arts, mm-hmm. or if you're only going to be tested on science as a whole, that's really not going to be able to tease out what, in fact, you are really good at. I mean, some people are going to be better at, for whatever reason, physics than they are at biology. Maybe they're just more interested in it. Some people are going to be better at history than they are going to be at geography. And so being able to choose, I think, very specifically which specific subjects you are or do want to be tested on, choose which ones you will be strongest in, well, that gives so much more flexibility, number one, in terms of the final outcome, which will, of course, be stronger in general, but then also for universities. They can actually set thresholds for the scores in the specific exams for specific programs.
Yeah, and I actually really like this idea that students, they have more than one chance to take the three courses, tests. That means that they are much less likely to get ruined just because they didn't probably sleep well one night before the test.
Well, yeah, and this is also true. I mean, they've actually implemented that reform for English already. Mm-hmm. I believe this year is going to be the first year where it actually comes into effect, at least for Beijing. And so that's a huge step forward. I mean, the idea that only one day, and that's going to determine, you know, your educational future, at least in the short term, makes no sense to me at all. I mean, you know, this is one of those things that I think that we have to, I think Chinese people should be very proud of themselves and proud of their government for being able to make these types of changes. I mean, if we look at South Korea, for example, South Korea is having some major problems, major cultural problems, I would say, in part due to the educational system, and then of course due to the knock-on effect that has with the employment market as well, and just business in general, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's the same situation, or at least that it is now, and or that it will be in the past for China, mm-hmm. where it was just one day, one exam, your entire future is on the line.
The next one, I want to hear your opinion on the new evaluation on five aspects instead of just exam results of this change, because mm-hmm. not only, and then morality standards, physical health, art cultivation, and social practice, these four things have been added. And to give you an example of social practice, that probably means that a volunteer experience will be considered as a plus. But how do you evaluate these very abstract things, and how do you make it fair for everyone?
Well, first of all, I think I have to say that I think this is a positive change, because I think it accentuates this role of extracurricular activities instead of just asking the students to focus on their academic study, because Chinese education has long been criticized for only asking their students to memorize the hard facts written in the textbooks instead of encouraging to the creation of their creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely this is good, but I have some really big questions about how this is going to be counted, and also how these things are defined. I mean, I just don't understand how it's still unclear. So, for example, with the Gaokao score themselves, how is the A to E classification going to be? What are the classification standards for that A to E grading? Is it going to be a numerical grade? Okay, well, that actually makes a lot of sense, because we're dealing with multiple choice tests and so on and so on. But then if we look at moral standards, at social practice, mm-hmm. and things like that, how do you quantify those areas? What are the criteria for getting, you know, a 10 out of 10, for example, in that area? And then also, I think this kind of goes, it's in a similar vein, how are these things defined? I mean, because we talk about morality standards. Well, whose morality standards are we talking about? We talk about art cultivation. Well, whose art cultivation, and what counts as art cultivation? There are some people out there who would call, you know, some of the art that we see in, for example, the contemporary Chinese circles of 798 and Cao Changdi as well, that these do not necessarily count as mm-hmm, art, mm-hmm. you know. So if someone is creative and on the avant-garde, they've done put a lot of work, put a lot of time and thought and creativity into an artwork, but someone thinks that it's not art, well, then do they not qualify for having art cultivation?
Yeah, and our listener, Koei, he or she does agree with what John just said, and it's very hard to quantify. And when you have that problem, it's very difficult to make it fair for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, even if you can quantify it, for instance, there's a requirement for like 5 hours of community work, there's still some way to like pre-orchestrate it. Like you can pull a few strings and then maybe stay at a health center for 5 hours.
Well, even then, I mean, I don't want to make it seem like I am arguing, you know, for quantification. I don't think we can. I don't think that we should be try to quantify moral standards or physical health and social practice and things like that. But I think that this is what the Chinese systems tend towards is quantification because numbers are objective. I mean, you know, one is one. You know, you can't really argue with that. But the value of a volunteer project, you know, on the face of it, that is mutable. I mean that and the value of one volunteer project is debatable over another volunteer project, and then there's a lot of subjectivity involved. And Chinese people, when it comes to fairness and college entrance and things like that, they don't like that those gray areas. One is one, two is two, two is better than one. Okay, argument over. And so in that sense, I think that we should need to be very, very careful. Yes, of course, more comprehensive evaluation is important, but let's not try to put a number on everything.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, no longer these people who get mathematical Olympiad awards will be awarded with extra points, and also these level two national athletes and youth science award winners taken out of those who are legitimate to get extra credits. And some people are saying that this is fair for more people, because when there are more avenues, as we see in these changes, it means more gray areas. But this could also mean that those interested in science, probably they're not going to be rewarded when they should have otherwise.
Right. I actually have an issue with this, actually. I think, although some people might think this is fairness, but it turns out to be kind of unfair to those people, kind of have some extra talent than the normal people, right? And, I think it's okay if they're not evaluated in terms of credits, like they won't get extra credits, but then I think they could still serve as an important factor influencing university's decision when they are determining whether or not to take this person in.
I mean, this whole idea of extra credit stuff makes no sense to me. Again, I mean, we're trying to quantify, as Jingnan just described it, a talent. How do you quantify how good someone sings? And should how well someone sings actually factor in to when they are applying for an engineering degree?
But that always happened. Like in America, if you are Taylor Swift and you are applying
But we're not talking about Taylor Swift. We're talking about regular people.
I'm talking about people who've got amazing rewards in their respective fields,
right? So Taylor Swift, when she's applying for an engineering degree, should have special consideration. Is that what you're saying?
Well not necessarily.
I think it's one thing that you write that into your resume, but it's another for the university to consider it or not.
Well, exactly. And that's the point with the extra credit system. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. We're trying to quantify a talent, something that is I think fundamentally unquantifiable, unless we're saying how many high notes can you hit in a certain period of time, which is an absolutely ridiculous standard. And again, I mean, how are those extra credits being used? I think that really with the comprehensive evaluation, it is a step number one away, or hopefully away, towards quantification. And you know, if we look at these extra credit stuff, I mean, so what happens? You get extra credit for being a math Olympiad. I mean, math Olympics means nothing outside of the math Olympics.
That's true, but
then everyone does it. Everyone says, "Oh, I did the math Olympics." Well, good for you. You have a piece of paper now.
I think, John, maybe you would be advocating a slightly different kind of evaluation, which those extracurriculum things should be considered as a plus, but maybe just not through exact numbers in the examination.
I'm actually on board with this idea of canceling those extra credits. I'm just saying that this could be written into the resume for reference for the university.
Oh, yeah, and with the extra four aspects that are going to be considered, maybe that can fill in there.